Penguin Random House Audio presents Ghosting the News, Local Journalism and the Crisis of American Democracy by Margaret Sullivan. Read for you by Amanda Carlin. For Alex and Grace, and for journalists everywhere. Introduction. Barbara O'Brien's article was routine enough fare for a local newspaper. It would not go on to win a journalism award or change the world. It didn't even make Sunday's front page on that day in May of 2019. It merely was the kind of day-in and day-out local reporting that makes secretive town officials unhappy because of what they can't get away with, and lets local taxpayers know how their money is being spent. O'Brien, who reports on several suburban towns for the Buffalo News, had found that the Orchard Park police chief, who was retiring abruptly, would receive an unexplained $100,000 as part of his departure. A few weeks before O'Brien's story was published, she had asked town officials for the chief's separation agreement, but they said it couldn't be released because it included a confidentiality clause. "Why would there be such a thing?" she asked. The town supervisor referred the questions to the town attorney, who wouldn't comment. O'Brien doggedly took the next steps, as her story explained. The Buffalo News obtained a copy of the 16-page agreement after filing a Freedom of Information Law request with the town. Keeping such a contract private is in violation of the Freedom of Information Law, according to Robert J. Freeman, executive director of the State Committee on Open Government. "The contract is public, notwithstanding a confidentiality clause," Freeman said. "The courts have held time and again that an agreement requiring confidentiality cannot overcome rights conferred in the Freedom of Information Law." Examining the agreement, O'Brien came across the $100,000 payout and wrote the story. And she would, of course, keep digging, because that is what diligent local reporters do. But there are fewer and fewer of them all the time. The Buffalo News is the regional newspaper where, until 2012, I served as top editor for 13 years. It's the largest news organization in New York State, outside the New York City metro area. Like virtually every other newspaper in the United States and many around the world, it's struggling. In the internet age, circulation volume and advertising revenue have plummeted, and the newsroom staff is less than half what it was when I took the reins, down from 200 to fewer than 100 journalists. That sounds bad, but is actually better than most. American newspapers cut 45% of their newsroom staffs between 2008 and 2017, with many of the deepest cutbacks coming in the years after that. In some places, the situation is far worse. I use the term newspapers as a shorthand for newspaper companies, and mean to include their digital as well as print presence. It matters immensely. As Tom Rosenstiel, executive director of the American Press Institute, put it, "If we don't monitor power at the local level, there will be massive abuse of power at the local level." And that's just the beginning of the damage that's already been done, with much more on the way. As a major Penn America study concluded in 2019, as local journalism declines, government officials conduct themselves with less integrity, efficiency, and effectiveness, and corporate malfeasance goes unchecked. With the loss of local news, citizens are less likely to vote, less politically informed, and less likely to run for office. Democracy, in other words, loses its foundation. The decline of local news is every bit as troubling as the spread of disinformation on the internet. Cries of fake news from President Trump and his sympathizers may seem like the biggest problem in the media ecosystem. It's true that the public's lack of trust in their news sources, sometimes for good reason, is a great worry. But intentional disinformation, media bias, and the disparagement of the press for political reasons are not the subjects of this book. While these may grab the public's attention, another crisis is happening more quietly. Some of the most trusted sources of news, local sources, particularly local newspapers, are slipping away, never to return. The cost to democracy is great. It takes a toll on civic engagement, even on citizens' ability to have a common sense of reality and facts, the very basis of self-governance. So I'll be clear. I'm not here to address the politicized fake news problem or the actual disinformation problem. This book is about the real news problem. "Welcome to Ground Zero," said Mark Sweetwood, managing editor of the Youngstown Vindicator, when I told him, in the center of his newsroom, one that no longer exists, about the book I was researching on the troubles of local news. I came to the Ohio City only 4 days after a stunning announcement that an already battered community took like a sucker punch. Their daily newspaper was going out of business. August 31st, 2019, would be the last day it published. The Vindicator is far from alone. More than 2,000 American newspapers have closed their doors and stopped their presses since 2004. And many of those that remain are mere shadows of their former selves. Consider Denver, where the Denver Post and the Rocky Mountain News boasted 600 journalists 20 years ago, a robust group to cover a city, surrounding metro area, and much of Colorado as a whole. Both papers won Pulitzer Prizes. That situation has changed radically. The Rocky, as it was known, went out of business in 2009. And the Denver Post, owned by a hedge fund fronted by a group called Digital First Media, is down to under 70 in its newsroom. It's painful. There's a knot in my gut to see what we built up over time torn down in this relentless way, Greg Moore told me in 2018. He was the Post's top editor from 2002 to 2016, when he stepped away, disheartened by what he called the ownership's harvesting strategy. My old paper, the Buffalo News, is facing an existential threat. It lost money in 2018 for the first time in decades. This development was frightening to its employees and management, though unknown to almost all local residents. Why would they think the paper was hurting? After all, there were so many years that the News would send $1 million a week to its Omaha-based owner, Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway. Until early 2020, Berkshire owned dozens of papers, including the Omaha World Herald. And though Buffett, who bought the paper in the 1970s, says he loves newspapers, he had made it clear that he was not inclined over the long term to support papers that are losing money. He believes in the purpose of journalism, but is not a newspaper philanthropist. The interests of Berkshire's shareholders come first. And the famed investor is extremely bearish about the future of local newspapers. "They're going to disappear," Buffett said in a 2019 interview with Yahoo Finance. In a particularly memorable description, he said the newspaper business over the past few decades went from monopoly to franchise to competitive to toast. It's not hard to see the results of that trend. From 2004 to 2015, the U.S. newspaper industry lost over 1,800 print outlets as a result of closures and mergers, a study in the Newspaper Research Journal found. Since then, the pace has only quickened, and the future looks grimmer still. These days, there are hundreds of counties in America with no newspaper or meaningful news outlet at all, creating news deserts, as they've become known. And many of those that do remain are ghost newspapers, phantoms of the publications they once were, and not much good to the communities they purport to serve.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?